Bismillah, wassalat wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wala wa ba'd. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is going to be our 39th session, reading from the commentaries related to al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah by al-Imam Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Salama al-Tahawi rahimahullah. And tonight we're going to look at the 68th statement of al-Imam al-Tahawi, statement number 68, in which he mentions several points of importance centered around what is called al-Kabair. And I don't want to translate it as with any word, but maybe more commonly it's called, they're called the major sins. This topic tonight is centered around this idea of al-kabair, the people who commit these really serious sins and who don't repent from them. What will be their condition when they stand before Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Sheikh Saleh Fawzan has divided this one statement into 6 points that he has commented on each of them, into 6 points. And al-Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz hasn't numbered them, but he has commented on what this statement contains and what amounts to about 9 or 10 points. And tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at maybe half of them or as many as possible, and then in the next session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll look at what remains from them. Before we begin with the point for tonight, we want to quickly review some of the matters that we discussed in the previous session from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 38. The first question being from last week, mentioned the 65th statement of al-Imam al-Tahawi. This statement is numbered by Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan in his commentary on Aqidah Tahawiyyah. He has numbered it as 142. And in the English translation, it's numbered as 141. In the English translation, it's numbered as 141. The 65th statement of al-Imam al-Tahawi. Naam. What is this statement? Naam, Dawood. Walaykum salam.
All of the faithful are
awliya,
allies of the most merciful, the most honorable of them to Allah, of those who obey Him most, and follow the Quran best.
Tayyib. Al-Mu'minun, the believers. All of the believers, Imam al-Tahawi is saying, all of the believers are awliya of ar-Rahman. But the most honored of them are those who are most obedient and those who follow the Quran the most. So here in this statement, Imam al-Tahawi is reminding us of the importance of this station of being a wali of Allah. And it is for the people of Iman and at-Taqwa. And the best of them, or the most honored from amongst the awliya of Allah, those who are most obedient to Allah, who obey Allah the most, and those who follow the Quran the most. And so, the point is what? That every one of us should be, knowing this, should be striving to be more obedient to Allah than we are now. And we should strive to be more, strictly adhering to the Quran than we are now. Question number two, what does Sheikh Saleh Fawzan say is meant by this statement? All of the believers are awliya of ar-Rahman. Abdul Wali.
Everyone who has iman is a wali of Allah, and there is no disparity in this line. Some are superior to others.
Tayyib. The Sheikh begins his statement though, in commenting on this statement that all of the believers are awliya of Allah, he begins by saying this is the truth, that all of the believers are awliya of Allah. And then he says what? Ya Zaki.
Before and after.
That's what he begins with. What does he begin with? The first thing that he says. Naam.
He said they are his loved ones.
Okay. Ahbabuhu. He said the meaning, Yani in one word, he said the meaning of all the believers are awliya ar-Rahman. He said it means that they are ahbabullah. And they are the people who are beloved by Allah. And so this is one of the meanings of walaya, that a person does acts of obedience to get near to Allah, and the more they get near to Allah, until Allah loves them. So the Shaykh is saying here what? That the meaning of awliya ar-Rahman, it means the people who have been obedient to Allah, so that they got near to Allah, so that they became the beloved of Allah. And then he mentions that Allah loves the muttaqeen, he loves the mu'mineen, he loves the muhsineen, and so on. So this is the meaning that he gave in summary. The meaning of awliya ar-Rahman, those who are beloved by Allah. Because Allah loves people according to their deeds. He loves the people of taqwa and iman and ihsan and so on. Question number 3. Mention the two characteristics of awliya of Allah and the dalil for them. The two characteristics are Hanif.
The two characteristics, love and friendship.
Okay, those are from the meanings of the walaya. But what are the two characteristics that are mentioned in the Quran? The characteristics of the awliya of Allah. Zaki.
Some people have complete reliance with Allah.
That's a discussion concerning the matter. The different grades of people. But what are the character? Okay, does anybody know the ayah in the Quran that the Shaykh used as an evidence for the awliya of Allah? Naam.
Surah
to Yunus. Naam. He said? Now, that the awliya of Allah are those who have no fear, yani of what is ahead, and they don't grieve over what's behind. He says, who are they? Alladhina amanu. They are those who have iman. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And they are those who have taqwa. These are the characteristics of the wali of Allah. That he has iman, and that he has taqwa. And the evidence is the ayah that the brother mentioned from Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 62nd and 63rd ayat. More specifically, the 63rd ayat, but these ayat go together. Yani, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. People have iman and the people have taqwa. Number 4, how does Shaykh Salih Fawzan describe the defective walaya of the mu'min fasiq, the sinful believer? How does he describe the defective walaya of the mu'min fasiq? What does he say concerning the believer who is sinful in terms of his walaya? Naam. Naam. Muhammad, you got your hand up or not quite? Okay, in the back.
They are allies to Allah Ta'ala according to their obedience, and enemies to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala according to their disobedience.
Okay, I want to just change the word according to. I want to just use a different word, and so it's more crystal clear. They are considered to be the wali of Allah based upon, due to, because of their obedience. It's because of their obedience. Or they are an enemy of Allah. Yani, and from another perspective, the same person is also, can be described as an enemy of Allah, due to or because of one's disobedience. So a person may contain some characteristics of obedience and characteristics of disobedience. And therefore, yani we say that this person whose walaya is defective because of his sinfulness, that due to his obedience, he is, from that perspective, a wali of Allah, and due to his disobedience, he's an enemy of Allah, adu of Allah. Now, question number 5. What is the view of the Quburiyun, yani the grave worshippers, as to who is or is not a wali of Allah? Naam, Nasir.
Yeah, the only ones who are the awliya of Allah are those who are kind of shy or they worship the old man.
They consider that the only person who is a wali of Allah is the person who has a shrine over their grave. Yani, that the people consider to be so-called saints, and that the people come in reverence, yani, to worship at their graves. And whoever doesn't have this built over their grave, then they are not a wali of Allah. And the Shaykh says this is any false. For sure. Question number 6. Mention the 66th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, which is numbered in the Arabic commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan as number 143. And in the English translation as 142. the 66th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Naam, Thailand.
Faith is to have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his angels, his messenger, Rasulullah, the last day in Al-Qadar, whether good or bad, sweet or bitter, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High.
Naam, Al-Imam At-Tahawi says that Iman is to believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers, and the last day and the divine decree, it's good and it's evil, and it's sweet and it's bitter. That's the statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Question number 7, mention Sheikh Salih Fawzan's comment on this statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. What does he comment when he comments on this statement? In brief, what is his commentary? And he said two things.
Belief in the tongue, belief in the heart, speech on the tongue, actions on the lips.
He mentioned that, but in what context though? And before he said that, he said something else. The first thing that Imam At-Tahawi says is, yes.
Faith has already been defined.
We already discussed what is the definition of Iman. And we already discussed the definition of Iman. And he said Iman is the speech that's on the tongue, the conviction in the heart, and the action of the limbs. What Imam At-Tahawi mentions here in this statement, Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, what he mentions here are the arkan of Iman. As far as the definition of Iman, we already talked about that before. It's the speech from the tongue, the conviction in the heart, and the actions of the limbs of the body. What Imam At-Tahawi is mentioning here, says Sheikh Salih Fawzan, are the arkan of Iman, as defined or outlined or made clear by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hadith of Jibril when he was asked, what is Iman? And he mentioned the 6 pillars of Iman. Bismillah. Question number 8. Mention the 67th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Again, which is numbered in the Arabic commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan is number 144. And in the English translation, 144. And he broke it into 2 parts. 144 and 145, and in the English translation, it's numbered as 143 and 144. The 67th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Naam. Fadlu.
We make no distinction between all of the messengers.
Okay.
Do you believe in all of them?
Okay, we're the believers, Yani. We believe in all of what has been mentioned. And in reference to, in reference to the messengers, we make no distinction between any of them, but we believe in the truthfulness of what they came with. So here, Al-Imam At-Tahawi is making 2 statements. The Sheikh has divided it into, Sheikh Salih Fawzan has divided it into 2 parts. The first part is that we are believers in all of that. All of what he mentioned of the pillars of Iman, as well as whatever he mentioned before that. We believe in all of that. And then he specifically singles out the messengers, and he said, we do not make any distinction between any of the messengers. We believe in the truthfulness of all of them, in terms of what they brought. Question number 9. Mention the statement of Allah from Surah Al-Nisa, 150 and 51st ayat, which confirms the kufr of those who make a distinction between the messengers of Allah. That those who make a distinction, by believing in some and disbelieving in others, that they are disbelievers in them all. What did Allah say in the Quran concerning this? Yeah? No? Father. So the point here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making clear the disbelief of these people who want to make a distinction between Allah and His messengers. If you believe in Allah, you believe in His messengers, all of them, because all of them are from Allah. So there's no distinction, there's no way to make a distinction between Allah and His messengers. And then He specifically says, how are they doing that? They're saying, we believe in Allah, and we believe in some of His messengers, and we disbelieve in others amongst them. And a person can't believe in some of the messengers that came from Allah and disbelieve in others and still believe in Allah. So there's no way like they want to take a middle course, and in between the course of those who believe in Allah and all of His messengers, and those who disbelieve in Allah and all of His messengers. They want to take a middle course. We believe in some and disbelieve in others, and Allah says these are disbelievers in truth. They are absolutely disbelievers. The last question, in light of this ayat, explain why the Yahud and the Nasara are kuffar. Zaki. So the Yahud disbelieve in two of the noble prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Isa and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No.
And Christians, they disbelieve in one prophet.
No, and the Christians disbelieved in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the message that he's brought. طيب, tonight, there is an ilaha ta'ala, and we have a long statement from Al-Imam al-Tahawi. As I mentioned, Al-Imam Ibn Abil Izz, in his lengthy commentary, has divided into a number of points, though he hasn't numbered them separately, but he has commented on every statement within this, or every part of this lengthy statement. Sheikh Salih Fawzan has divided into 6 points, which he has numbered 146 through 151. In the English translation, obviously, numbers are one number difference. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to try to take 3 or 4 of those points in the limited time that we have. and then next week, inshallah, try to complete what is mentioned. There's some commentary from Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, but it's relatively brief commentary, and it's not something that's completely far from what we're going to be discussing from Sheikh Salih Fawzan in terms of the core matter of the topic. The first part of this 68th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, as it's divided by Sheikh Salih Fawzan, is وَأَهْلُ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي النَّارِ لَا يُخَلَّدُونَ إِذَا مَاتُوا وَهُمْ مُوَحِدُونَ. Yani that أَهْلُ الْكَبَائِرِ, the people who committed these great grave sins from the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Shaykh al-Bani mentions in his commentary that I'm not going to read tonight, but he does mention that this statement, min ummati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not in most of the manuscripts, and even in some of the printed copies of this book. And he said it's better that it be left out, because the meaning may be misleading. Yani the meaning may be misleading. That the people who committed major sins from the Ummah of Muhammad, as though the people who committed major sins from the other Yani followers of the prophets are different, and there's no difference between them. So that's just a comment that he made concerning this. So just for clarification, the people who committed these grave sins from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as from the other followers of the prophets and messengers, في النار لا يخلدون, they will not remain eternally, permanently in the fire. في النار لا يخلدون إذا ماتوا وهم موحدون. Yani they will not remain eternally in the fire if when they died, they were muwahidun. Yani the people of Tawheed. If they died upon Tawheed, they will not remain in the fire. However long they might remain according to their sins, but they will not remain eternally, permanently in the hellfire. And this is one of the benefits that the scholars of the Sunnah say from a Tawheed. That either it would prevent a person from entering the fire at all, and if they did enter, they wouldn't remain eternally. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says concerning this matter, Al-Kabair huwa al-dhunub allati duna al-shirk wa fawqa al-saghair. In a general statement concerning the Kabair, the grave sins, he said they are sins which are less than shirk. Less than shirk. Because shirk is the greatest of the grave sins, the worst of them. They are less than shirk, but they are more than the saghair. Yani those, yani saghair, yani whatever is, doesn't reach this level of being from the Kabair. What's more important is what he says after that, وَضَابِتُ الْكَبِيرَ. And what is the guideline or the guiding principle that will enable us to identify what is a kabira? What is a kabira? He said, كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ رُتِّبَ عَلَيْهِ حَدٌ أَوْ خُتِمَ بِغَضَبٍ أَوْ لَعْنَةٍ أَوْ نَارٍ أَوْ تَبَرُّعَ الرَّسُولُ صلى الله عليه وسلم من فاعله فإن هذا كبيرة. يعني every sin which results in a had from the hudud of Allah, يعني a prescribed fixed punishment in this world, every sin that has a fixed punishment in the Sharia, in this world. And every sin that yani leads to a person earning the ghadab, the anger or the wrath of Allah, or the la'ana, the curse of Allah, and he being distanced from the mercy of Allah, or the nar, the hellfire, or any sin which the Prophet ﷺ declared himself to be free from the one who committed it. Declared himself to be free from a person who does this. So the Shaykh is saying the dhabit, the guideline for determining what is a kabira, every sin that results in a person being subject to a prescribed punishment in the Sharia in this life or in the next life will earn the wrath of Allah. Or the la'an, the curse of Allah. Or the hellfire, or the person who commits such a sin, the Prophet ﷺ declared himself to be free from them. The person who the Prophet who commits a sin that the Prophet ﷺ declared himself to be free from, he said, like the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." And whoever cheats us, then he is not one of us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is declaring himself to be free from such a person. Whoever cheats us, he's not one of us. He's not one of us. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim. And he mentions another example in Bukhari and Muslim. Man hamala alayna as-salah falaysa minna. Yani whoever carries arms against us, whoever lifts up arms against us, yani to fight against the Muslims, then he is not from us. He is not one of us. Here I just want to make a note, and I'm not going to make too many notes because we don't have a lot of time, but I think it's important that as we discuss the issue of kabair, or the grave sins or major sins, the point that should be in the forefront of our minds is these are the things that we want to avoid. These are the things that a person wants to at all costs avoid. And if they fell into it, they want to repent from it. And if they fell into it, they don't want to die without having repented from it. And nobody can guarantee that they're not going to commit this sin. But there's nothing that prevents you to stop you from repenting from it. As we discuss this topic, this is what should be in the forefront of our mind. These are the things that we do not want to do. And if we did them, we want to repent from them immediately before we die. And repentance requires that a person stop doing it and feel remorse for it and make a firm resolve not to go back to it, even if they fell victim again. But that is what is required. Unless it involves the rights of people, then it requires rectifying that. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Salih Fawzan says, every one of these considerations that's mentioned here in this thabit, this guideline for what is a yani kabira, and here the translation is actually, any. I have to say that the English translation on this line here, definitely need to cross it out. Because the translation is saying here, what I'm going to read to you now, the translation is saying, all of these considerations indicate, what do they indicate? That if a person commits a major sin that's less than shirk, then he has not left iman. That's not what it says. All of these indications tell us what is a major sin. Not that if a person commits this, he hasn't left Islam. It's true. If a person commits this, then he hasn't left Islam. But that's not what they indicate. This dhabit are indications of what is a major sin. Not that if the person commits it, he's not out of Islam. Okay, so I just want to like make sure that we pay attention to this, because yani, it says كل هذه الاعتبارات تدل على أن الذنب كبيرة. Yani, all of these considerations, that the sin which has results in a person earning the wrath of Allah, or the hellfire, or the la'na of Allah, or a punishment, a prescribed punishment in the life, these are all indications that that thing is a major sin, that it's a kabira. That's what it indicates. It doesn't indicate that if a person commits this sin, that he's not out of Islam. So please pay attention to this. All of these indications point to, all of these considerations point to the fact that such a sin is a major sin. However, since it is less than shirk, as long as this sin is less than shirk, since it's less than shirk, فَصَاحِبُهَا لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Since it's less than shirk, then the person who commits it doesn't go out of iman. He doesn't become a kafir. وَإِنَّمَا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنًا نَاقِسَ الْإِيمَانِ. Rather, what we say is that he is a believer, but his iman is defective. Or we call him a fasiq, and he is a sinful person. Al-Imam Ibn Abil Iz says that this statement of Imam al-Tahawi here is a refutation against the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. And that's because they say the person who commits this type of sin, he goes out of Islam. They agree, the two of them agree, that he goes out of Islam. Whereas the Khawarij says he goes into Kufr, and the Mu'tazila say he's in between Kufr and Iman. But they both agree that the person goes out of Islam. So Ibn Abi Iz, he said, this is a refutation against them. Yani that the person who commits a kabaya from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and doesn't repent from it, then he is not, yani, he doesn't repent from it, then he's subject to the will of Allah. But the point here is that he doesn't go out of Islam. Yani on Yawm al-Qiyamah, he's subject to Allah's will to either be punished or to be pardoned. So this is the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yani that a person who commits a kabira, that's less than shirk, he doesn't go out of iman. But we say that he is a believer whose iman is defective. Or we say he is a fasiq, a sinful person. This is the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that we do not declare the person who commits the kabira, that's less than shirk, we do not declare him to be a kafir. We do not give him the title or the description of al-iman al-mutlaq. But we do give him the description of iman muqayyid. Iman muqayyid. Here, I want to make 2 points. The first thing, we don't describe him with al-iman al-mutlaq. Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah, in his book, Kitab al-Iman, he mentions the difference between al-iman al-mutlaq and mutlaq al-iman. Sounds the same, but two different meanings. Al-iman al-mutlaq means al-iman al-kamil. So we don't describe such a person as having complete and perfect iman. Mutlaq al-iman means asl al-iman, that a person has iman. And they believe in la ilaha illallah. Whatever the condition of their iman is, they have iman. That's mutlaq al-iman. Amma al-iman al-mutlaq, it means al-iman al-kamil, complete and perfect iman. He said they are not described as such. Rather, we describe them having iman muqayyid, yani a limited, restricted iman. وَيُقَالْ مُؤْمِنٌ بِإِمَانِهِ فَاسِقٌ بِكَبِيرَتِهِ. So concerning this person, we don't say he goes out of Islam. We say he is a mu'min. He's described with iman, but a limited, restricted iman. We say that he is a believer because of, as a result of, based upon what iman he has. So he's still a believer. But as far as in consideration of his committing these grave sins, so he's a fasiq. So he has two descriptions. Description of iman, based on what iman he has, and a description of being a sinful person, because of his sins. And this is the justice of the people of Sunnah, that they didn't take a person out of Islam for committing some kind of sin. And he didn't escape completely either, that and no matter, as long as he has iman, khalas, he's good to go. No, there's a problem here. There's definitely a problem. Committing sins affects one's iman. Sheikh Salih Fazan goes on to say, so we don't say he is a mu'min kamil al-iman. We don't say he is a mu'min kamil al-iman. We don't say he's a believer who has complete and perfect iman, as is the saying of the murji'ah. Nor do we say that he is kharij min al-islam, that he went outside of Islam, as is the saying of the khawarij and the mu'tazila. So these are two deviant opinions concerning the person who commits the major sin. The sin that we ask Allah to protect us from. And if we fall into it, we return to Him immediately in repentance. Here he describes the three views, the two deviant views, and the correct view in detail. The Khawarij and the Mu'tazila took this person who committed the major sin. I'm sorry, before that he said, so, based on this, the people concerning the one who commits the grave major sin, which is less than shirk. And he keeps saying less than shirk because there's a difference. Person who commits shirk, that's different than any of the other sins, however great or grave they might be. The person who commits the kabira, which is less than shirk, then there are three views. Thalatha tawaif. There are three groups in terms of their view concerning this person. The first group is the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, who takes this person out of Islam. Where they differ is that the Khawarij say he has gone out of Islam and into kufr, whereas the Mu'tazila say, and he has gone out of Islam. And Mu'tazila says he's gone out of Islam, but he has not, yani, entered into kufr. They said he is in a station between two stations, yani between iman and kufr. However, they agree with the Khawarij that he has gone out of Islam. So this is the problem here, that a person committed a grave sin and they said he's out of Islam. Whether he's a kafir or in between two stations, doesn't matter. The point is, he's no longer a Muslim. And they agree that he'll be in the hellfire eternally. The second group are the Murji'ah. They said, huwa mu'min kamil al-iman. And he is a believer who has complete and perfect iman. As long as he ya'taqid fi qalbihi al-iman in the jumhuriyam. Yani they said that he is a believer who has complete and perfect iman. As long as he has in his heart the aqidah of iman, as long as he believes in his heart, according to the majority of the murjia, and according to some of them, as long as he professes it on his tongue. So those who said that what is required for iman from the murjia, which we mentioned a few weeks ago, those who said that what is required for iman is to have aqidah, yani to have conviction in the heart, are the Ash'ariyah. And those who said that what is required to have iman is to pronounce it on the tongue are the Qaramiyah. And from amongst them are those who said that he has to have aqidah in the heart and pronounce it on the tongue as well, and that's the Hanafiyah. And then finally, the worst of the Murji'ah, we said, are those who said it's just ma'rifah. As long as the person knows Allah, khalas, whether they believe, say anything or not, and that is the Jahmiyah. So he says here that the Murji'ah are different groups, but as long as a person believes in their heart, or according to some of them, pronounce it on his tongue, then he is a mu'min, kamil al-iman, with complete and perfect iman. And that his sins do not have any effect, yani do not decrease his iman, even if they are the grave sins. This position, he said, is also misguidance. As far as the Qawl al-Haq, the true statement concerning the person who commits the major sins, well, it is the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that the person who commits these grave sins less than shirk is still a believer and he is not a kafir. However, his iman is defective. And this, knowing this, he said, yajibu ma'rifatu. This is something that you must know. You must know this. Yani, what's the difference concerning this matter? What is the correct statement and what are the deviations? It's important that this be entrenched in your mind. Yani, what is correct concerning this particular matter? And that's because the people of evil have increased in their evil in this day and time. And they began to proclaim openly the madhab of irja, of the murji'a, in order to promote it amongst the people, in order to cover the deviation that they are upon. So knowing this matter is from the most obligatory of the obligations that are upon the student of knowledge today. And Imam al-Tahawi goes on to say about these people who commit major sins, he mentions the issue of tawbah. Because we know that, yani, if a person commits any sin, they should repent from it. And the sooner the better. Because the person doesn't know when they're going to die. As far as the major sins or the grave sins, the kabayr, if a person doesn't repent from it, they will be subject to the mashiyah of Allah, the will of Allah. Al-Imam al-Tahawi says concerning this in what Sheikh Salih Fawzan has numbered as 147 or in English 146, وَإِن لَمْ يَكُونُوا تَعِبِينَ. Yeah, they will not remain in the fire, even if they didn't repent. Naam, I'm sorry. Allahu Akbar. They will not remain in the fire even if they didn't repent. بَعْدًا لَقُوا اللَّهِ عَارِفِينَ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَهُمْ فِي مَشِيَتِهِ وَحُكْمِهِ إِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُمْ وَعَفَى عَنْهُمْ بِفَضْلِهِ كَمَا ذَكَرَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي كِتَابِهِ يَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ إِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُمْ فِي النَّارِ بِعَدْلِهِ. Yani, Imam Tawi says here that they will not remain in the fire, yani the people of Tawheed will not remain in the fire, if, yani, though they committed major sins, even if they didn't repent from it. Meaning, if they repented from it, then we know that repentance removes what is before it, whether major or minor sins. But even if they didn't repent from it, they still would not remain in the fire eternally. And that's one of the benefits of Tawheed, as the scholars mentioned, and we mentioned previously, that a person who is upon Tawheed would either never enter the fire, or if they entered, they would not remain in it. He says, after they meet Allah, arifina mu'minina, yani knowing Allah and believing in Allah. Al-Imam Ibn Abi Al-Iz, in his copy of the Aqidah Tahawiyyah, it doesn't mention mu'minina. And he commented on this point, that Al-Imam Tahawi mentioning that if they meet Allah, yani with ma'arifah, he said it would have been better that if he mentioned iman. Sheikh Salih Fawzan said it would have been better that he mentioned what he mentioned before, that they died upon as muwahidun, yani upon tawheed. So here, in any case, the point is, even if they didn't repent, when they meet Allah in Yawm al-Qiyamah, knowing Allah with iman or upon tawheed, then they will be subject to the will of Allah in His judgment. If He wills, He will forgive them and pardon them by His fadl, by His favor and His bounty, yani not being required of Him. This is something extra that Allah favors a person with. And this is, as He mentioned, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in his book, where He says, yani he forgives whatever is less than that, meaning less than shirk, to whomever He wills. And if He wills, He will punish them in the fire bi'adlihi, based upon His justice. Yani either His fadl or His adl. A person will be between these two. Either they will receive the favor of Allah and His bounty, which is forgiveness, or they will receive justice, yani what they deserve, yani justice for their sins. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, yes, this is the madhab of haqq, the true madhab, that the people who committed major sins, which are less than shirk, they are not disbelievers. And that when they meet Allah, if they didn't repent from these sins, they will be subject to the will of Allah. They will be subject to the will of Allah, meaning Allah will do with them what He wills. He will give them His fadl, or He will give them His adl. If He wills, He will punish them in accordance with their sins. And then He will remove them from the fire and admit them into His Jannah based upon their tawheed and their iman. And they will not remain eternally in the hellfire. And the proof of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 48th Ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah does not forgive that something be made as a partner for Him or an equal to Him. Shirk. He does not forgive this. Meaning He doesn't forgive it if a person dies on it without having repented from it. If a person dies on it, person repents from it, sure, Allah forgives. And He accepts repentance. Allah doesn't forgive that someone be made as an equal or partner with Him. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And He forgives anything less than that, less than shirk, to whomever He wills. Shaykh Salih Fawzan says, لَكَنْ قَوْلُهُ عَارِفِينَ مُؤْمِنِينَ. And in the statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, that these people, if they didn't repent, when they met Allah, عَارِفِينَ مُؤْمِنِينَ, yani as those who know Allah and who believe in Allah, he said, rather than this statement, which is general and not specific, yani it's ambiguous, if he had said, if when they meet Allah, muwahideen, yani upon tawheed, he said this would have been better. Yani that these people, yani as he said previously, he said, yani kama qala awwalan. If he had said it like that, that if they meet Allah upon tawheed, then they would be subject to the will of Allah. Because if they didn't meet Allah upon tawheed, yani on other than tawheed, on shirk, then there's no forgiveness. And there's no intercession for the person who dies upon shirk. Shaykh goes on to say, if Allah wills, then He will execute the wa'id, the threat of punishment for the sins they committed. Nonetheless, they will not remain eternally in the hellfire. This is the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and this is the true, correct path, as opposed to the Khawarij, who say that the people who committed major sins without repenting from them, that they will be in the fire in any situation or circumstance, and they will remain in the fire eternally. They say, whoever entered the fire, according to them, will never come out of the fire. And likewise, this position of the Ahl Sunnah is contrary to the Murji'ah, who are saying that these people who committed major sins and didn't repent from them, they would never even pass over the fire at all. And this is also a grave, great mistake. Rather, we cannot guarantee an-najat, that they will be saved from the fire. Rather, they are subject to the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He will pardon them by His fadl, out of His favor. And if He wills, He will punish them by His adl, His justice. And Allah doesn't wrong anyone. Rather, He punishes the people according to their deeds, which necessitated that punishment, if Allah decides not to forgive them. Indeed, Allah doesn't punish anyone who didn't disobey Him. And likewise, and the Shaykh now is explaining the point that comes in the next part, in a later part of this statement, he says, likewise, Allah doesn't treat equally the asi, the person who commits sins, and the mu'min, al-mu'min al-mustaqim. Allah doesn't treat equally the person who disobeys Him like the person who is a believer and who is upright. And then he mentions these ayat, which refer to a point in this statement of Imam Tahawi that's coming. In any case, we'll mention these ayats here as he mentioned them. The first ayat he mentions is from Surah Al-Qalam, 68th, Surah 35th and 36th ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَنَجَعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Shall we make the people who submit and surrender, the Muslims, like the criminals? Shall we make them equal? مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. What is with you? How are, what kind of judgment are you using to come to this conclusion? And then he says, also in Surah As-Sa'd, 38th Surah, 28th ayat, أَمْنَجَعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Shall we make equal, shall we treat equally those who believe and do righteous deeds like those who make corruption in the earth? Or shall we make the people of taqwa, treat them equally like the fujjar, the people of wickedness and evil and sin? He said, this is istinqar min Allah. This is Allah showing disapproval of this kind of thinking, that there should be equality between the people who believe and the people who disbelieve, the people who are obedient and the people who are sinful. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says in Surah Al-Jathiyah, 45th Surah, 21st Ayat, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَهُ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Do they think, those who commit acts of evil, do they think that we will make them, treat them equal like we treat those people who believe and do good deeds, and we will treat them equally in their life, in this world, or, in their death, meaning in the next life? Evil is this way of judging. And since the time is up, we're just going to read two short points that the Shaykh makes here, and then we'll close with this. This next matter is the third part of the statement, 68th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. It's numbered as 148 in Sheikh Salih Fawzan's commentary and 147 in English translation, where Al-Imam At-Tahawi says, ثُمَّ يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنْهَا بِرَحْمَتِهِ وَشَفَاعَةِ الشَّافِعِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ طَاعَتِهِ. Then he will remove them, the people who committed major sins and didn't repent from them, and who were thrown in the hellfire, those who he willed to punish justly. Then he will remove them from it, from the fire, by his rahmah and by the intercession of the people who Allah allows to intercede from those people who are obedient to him. And then he says in the fourth part, numbered 149 or 148, ثُمَّ يَبَعَثُهُمْ إِلَى جَنَّتِهِ. And these two, the Shaykh comments on briefly, then he will admit them into his Jannah. Allah will remove them from the hellfire by his rahmah, or due to the intercession of the people of obedience, and then he will admit them into his Jannah. Shaykh Salih Fawzan says, this, that he will remove them from the fire by his rahmah, or the intercession of those people of obedience is as it has been authentically narrated in the narrations from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the disobedient people of Tawheed will come out of the hellfire. And he mentions the hadith of Anas here, where he mentions the people who said La ilaha illallah and had in their heart even the amount of iman equal to a barley seed or a wheat or a small atom. And he mentions that these people would be brought out of the hellfire. The hadith is mentioned here, but for the sake of time, the point is that this hadith is a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ mentions that people of Tawheed who committed major sins from which they did not repent and Allah punished them in the hellfire, that they would come out of the hellfire, even if they had the smallest amount of iman. Shaykh says this has been narrated authentically from the Prophet ﷺ that they would come out of the hellfire by one of two means. Either bifadlillah, by the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِمَّا بِشَفَاعَةِ الشَّافِئِينَ, or either by the intercession of the people who intercede, whether from the prophets or the righteous or the angels or other than that. Shaykh says, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, yani that some people will intercede only after the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said this intercession is true, it is real. However, لَا تَكُونُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَأَنْ يَكُونَ الْمَشْفُوْ فِيهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ التَّوْهِيدِ. But this intercession will not take place except with two considerations. That it will not take place except with the permission of Allah. For those who intercede, He gives them permission. And also for the one who is being interceded on their behalf, the one who intercession is being made for, and that they be from the people of Tawheed. لا من الكافرين, and there will be no intercession for the disbelievers. ولا من المشركين, and there will be no intercession for the pagans. وَلَا مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ, and there will be no intercession for the hypocrites. Three groups of people, there is no intercession for them. And that is the people of kufr, the people of shirk, and the people of nifaq, hypocrisy. Then the Shaykh says in the last part of the statement that he will admit them into paradise, after removing them from the fire, it has been narrated that they will come out of the fire and they will be like charcoal that's burnt. And then they will be thrown in a river that's called the river of Hayat, the river of life. And then their bodies and their flesh will sprout or germinate any new. And then after that, they will be refined and they will be cleansed. And permission will be given for them to enter into the paradise. And they will enter into the paradise. And this is also mentioned in hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that's reported, yani by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Please refer back to those hadith for the benefit of the wording of the hadith. Naam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grants success in doing whatever we do, sincerely for His sake alone, and that we do it in accordance with the authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His mercy and His kindness to recognize, to record it, and to reward our good deeds, and to pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a complete recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and that He shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and fill their graves with light, and make their graves spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and to save them from the punishment of the hellfire, and the punishment of the grave. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims wherever they may be, in Gaza and other than that, in the lands of the Muslims and the lands of the Kuffar, that Allah grant them His protection, His hifz, and He protect them from before them and from behind them, from the right and the left and above them and below them, and that Allah grant victory to the Muslims over their enemies. Wallahu musta'an. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.